From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, October 27th, 2023.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners and by Eastern Basements, a division of Maine-owned Eastern Mold Remediation, offering crawl space repairs and waterproofing. EasternBasements.com.
Maine State Police have rescinded all shelter-in-place orders, but ask residents to remain vigilant in the wake of the shootings in Lewiston. Hunting is also prohibited in several communities as the search for suspect Robert Card continues. Patty White has the latest developments.
In a press conference this afternoon, Maine Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk said hunting is banned in Lewiston, Lisbon, Bowdoin, and Monmouth until further notice to ensure public safety and help officers in their search. Soschuk also released the identities of the 18 people who were killed in the shootings, who ranged in age from 14 to 76. He declined to release their hometowns per the request of their families. He says an information center will be set up to help families and details will come soon. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And now Murray Carpenter explains search efforts Friday, which focused on the Androscoggin River.
A large contingent of law enforcement personnel spent the day scouring an area near a boat launch where the suspect's white Subaru had been found abandoned. At an impromptu roadside press conference, Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife spokesman Mark Laddy said about 40 people are conducting a grid search by air, land, and water.
The helicopter is eyes in the skies. We're working with Brookfield Power. They have lowered the amount of water going through the dam, which lowers the river, and it gives the pilots and the observers in the helicopter a better chance to see through the water to see if there might be anything in the water.
In addition to helicopters, boats equipped with side-scan sonar searched the river while crews walked the banks. Laddie says many state and federal agencies are cooperating on the search, which allows them to fan out and cover as much ground as possible. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Murray Carpenter.
Nick Song now, with more on the procedures being taken by investigators.
Law enforcement deployed dive teams and sonar equipment in the Androscoggin River Friday morning, close to where they found Card's vehicle abandoned Thursday. Helicopters, planes, and other air resources are also involved in the search effort. So why is the investigation taking so long? For one, Maine is one of the most rural states in the nation. Forests cover nearly 90% of the state. Authorities also have protocol to follow. That means filing search warrants and waiting for approval from the courts before executing on them.
We have to take our time. We're going to be processing every square inch of these facilities. Not only do you have the victims in question, but every one of those rounds that got fired need to be investigated. Every one of those cartridges that lays on the ground needs to be collected. The vehicles that are in those parking lots, everything that we do around this, we need to be careful. We need to be professional.
That means interviewing the around 70 people at the bowling alley and restaurant who witnessed the attacks. It means following up on more than 530 tips and leads sent in by the general public. It means following up on more than 530 tips and leads sent in by the general public. And internally, it means putting extra attention on coordination and rotational shifts across the multiple law enforcement agencies working the case.
Our officers, our investigators continue to work using that 3 o'clock, that 4 o'clock in the morning time frame to kind of plan out what the next day is going to look like. We have a morning briefing, which kind of kicks off and says, this is what's going to happen. We need a team to go do this. We need a team to go do that. This is who our team leads are. This is the process. And then we let those folks loose to go do the good work.
Soschuk says investigators plan on filing more search warrants to find digital media from phones, computers, and other video from the area. He also cautioned against misconstruing standard search procedure with breakthroughs in the case.
We won't be able to say every time we're hitting a location, hey, we're going to be at this spot, and because that's just not practical, and it's not safe for a lot of folks. Announcements and PA systems, a piece of that is us just giving notification that, yes, in fact, we are the police. We are going to be knocking on this door. We would like you to come out if you're in there. And some of that's just standard operating procedures from our end.
Soschuk expects processing all the evidence will take at least several days. The department will hold daily press conferences at 10 a.m. for the duration of the manhunt. For Maine Public Radio, I'm Nick Song.
The shock and anguish from the mass shooting in Lewiston that killed 18 people and injured 13 others continues to ripple across Maine, and the deaf and hard of hearing community is experiencing those feelings acutely. Four of the eight men killed at a bar and billiards hall were gunned down in what appears to be the worst mass shooting of deaf people in U.S. history. Steve Missler reports.
On Wednesday night, Steve Vazella, Brian McFarlane, Billy Brackett, and Joshua Seal went to Schmengi's Bar and Grill in Lewiston to play in a cornhole tournament for the deaf. They were avid players, but more than that, the tournament was a gathering for members of a deaf and hard of hearing community that often relies on one another to stay connected. In many ways, Joshua Seal was the conduit for those connections, especially during times of crisis.
For so many in the deaf community in Maine, Josh was, in quotes, the voice of COVID and the face of COVID.
Dr. Nirav Shah is the former director of the Maine Center for Disease Control and now the deputy director at the U.S. CDC. Shah worked alongside Seal for almost two full years during the pandemic. Seal, an American Sign Language interpreter, had been brought in to communicate the latest updates on the virus and vaccines to people who needed to hear them but often can't. His translations of mRNA, monoclonal antibodies, and other pandemic vernacular were high energy and helped make him a star among the deaf and hard of hearing. But then Wednesday night happened.
Here today, went to a cornhole tournament with his community, and then he was gone. That's really tough to get your head around.
Grappling with the unthinkable is precisely what the deaf community is trying to do now. At approximately 7:08 p.m., Joshua Seal and his three friends were hit by the bullets of a gunman who had entered the billiards hall. All four of them were killed. Three of them, McFarlane, Brackett, and Seal, had been students at the Maine Education Center for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, according to Director Karen Hopkins. Hopkins, via text, said the killings have rocked the community. That sentiment was shared by the Pine Tree Society, where Seal was the director of interpreting services and coordinated summer camps for deaf and hard of hearing kids to keep them engaged and not feel isolated.
We will miss him. I will miss him. He was a wonderful colleague. I was so proud to work with him in so many different areas of my life.
That's Regan Thibodeau, an ASL interpreter who spoke to Maine Public through interpreter Stacy Busalak. Like Seal, Thibodeau helped translate the CDC briefings during the pandemic. Now she's translating daily press conferences about a mass shooting that killed 18 people, including four from her community. And she says the reason she's doing it is simple.
Their friends and family are deaf. Their families are deaf. They use American Sign Language. All they want is equity in communication access. It is really important to have American Sign Language on the screen at the same time that everyone is getting the information.
Even if the information is heart-wrenching.
It is a tragic, tragic loss for our community to lose four members. Many deaf people are impacted by this event. All over America, this is the first time in history that we have lost that many deaf people at once in a mass shooting.
Family members could not be reached for this story, but have posted remembrances on social media. Elizabeth Seal, Joshua's wife, wrote, "He was the world's best father to our four pups. Seal pups." That's how she describes the four young children who lost their father Wednesday night. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Officials have confirmed that three of the 18 victims were connected to a small lakeside town, Winthrop, west of Augusta. They include a 14-year-old Winthrop high school student and his father. As Robbie Feinberg reports, the community is reeling from the tragedy, and school administrators are working through how to support their students and staff.
Winthrop Superintendent Jim Hodgkin says the past few days have been devastating for the district. Hodgkin says he first found out that the uncle of a student was killed in Wednesday's shootings. Administrators next learned that 14-year-old Aaron Young and his father Bill were gunned down at spare time recreation.
You know, a lot of my administrators that are and teachers that have been on board for a long time, have seen that young man come through the system, a very, very well-respected, a nice young man. And so there's that real sad mix of sadness and anger. It's so senseless what happened, and for all of these innocent victims to be, to have to experience this. and leave our communities, you know, dealing, trying to make some sense of it. It's just been really, really hard.
Aaron's uncle described the high schooler as a gentle and thoughtful kid who loved bowling and spending time with his dad. Family members say Bill was hardworking, funny, and always the first to lend a hand. The chair of the local school board says the killings have rocked what she described as a very tight-knit community. And Democratic State Representative Tavis Hassenfuss, who grew up in Winthrop, says the ongoing manhunt has made it impossible for residents to find the closure they need.
In my family, our kindergarten daughter asked, you know, did they catch him yet? So I think every family around here knows that there's a crisis going on, and we're all on edge for it. And I think we do need to start the grieving process. And it is hard when you know that the perpetrator is still at large.
Superintendent Jim Hodgkin says figuring out how to talk through that tragedy with hundreds of students is a huge challenge, particularly as school buildings stay closed. Hodgkin says on Friday, schools offered virtual office hours, online meetings for staff, students, and parents to talk through their grief with counselors and each other. On Monday, the district plans to start classes 2 hours late in order to give teachers time to meet with crisis teams and discuss how to talk about the killings with their students.
I'm not sure there's 2 hours worth of messaging that that we need to provide to them, but I think we, between what we have to say to them and help them be prepared for students and just giving them a time to deal with the, you know, the reality of being with each other and hugging each other and just being there, you know, that's going to take the full time.
And Hodgkin says coming to terms with that loss will also take time.
Quite a bit of time. I have no idea how much time, but it will definitely not be a, you know, we get back to school, everything will be fine. It won't be that way.
For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join me at 8 tomorrow morning for Weekend Edition Saturday. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.